A lot of scripture is very plain and clear, and the application of it sometimes may be difficult, but the words themselves of Paul to this church in Colossae are very straightforward. They are meant to encourage this church. They are meant to lift them up. And this particular letter, the letter to the Colossians, is not just written to the Colossians, it's written also to Laodiceans. If this, Paul will command them, send this letter also to them, and let I wrote a letter to them too. Let them send it back to you. It's a letter of encouragement for Christians to stand firm. These would have been Greek-speaking Christians, mainly, mainly Christians who are from Gentile places, Gentile origins, but also there would have been Jews here. And we know that because of Paul's reference to circumcision, they would have been very familiar with all of that. But what is Paul on about in this particular chapter, in these particular verses 6 to 19? Let me start by sharing with you something that has been happening in this past week that has jarred my heart and our home a little bit. In South Africa, back home in South Africa, a TV program done by four podcasters, two young ladies and two young men. They are not very old, and I deliberately call them young. They are in their very early 30s, late 20s. So they are young people, unmarried and all of that. They, in their podcast, decided, planned, thought about their program, and their program was all about maligning a particular segment of South Africa's community. You know, South Africa has got 11 official languages, 9 provinces, gazillion cultures. And these young guys decide on air for over 60 million people to listen. They decide they are going to just lambaste, wreck, do all kinds of, say all kinds of absolutely derogatory things about a certain one segment of the country. Obviously, the reaction was horrific. People were calling for their deaths. People were angry, are angry. Comedians, TV stars, politicians, you name them. The community themselves are up in uproar. It's not nice. And I'm mentioning this because if you know anything about our country, is if we've come from identity politics, where a certain segment, the white folks of South Africa, had the rulership over everyone else, and not just rulership, but oppression of everyone else. And we thought, yeah, we've come out of all of this nonsense. Now we are free. We even call ourselves the Rainbow Nation and all of that. But it seems as if in the past few weeks and culminating with all of this nonsense, our identity as separate groups, racial groups, if you want, tribes, cultures, all of that is coming back up and in a way that is vile, in a way that is saddening to the very heart. For those of us who longed, not just in our minds, but with our very own bodies, long to see a people that are free from racial segregation, cultural superiority or inferiority, all of the, we long for it and fought for it. But now, it's all that seems to matter. I'm black. I'm colored. I'm Indian. I'm white. I'm all of this. All of this is coming up. But this is not obviously, as I'm talking, I'm sure you can hear, or rather you are reasoning in your mind, this is not unique to South Africa. North America, I'm not saying the US or Canada, all of us in North America, it's manifesting itself in Europe as well. Identity seems to be everything in everyone's mind. Whether it's racial or gender or sexual identity, all of these things seem to matter more than anything else. You must see me for that. I think I did share with you very early on in our relationship, one of the things coming out of this culture in South Africa with all the victories won against segregation and all of that, for me, the way the Lord has brought me out of all of that. I came to know Jesus Christ in 1992. It just so coincided with the transition of the nation from this nonsense, this evil of apartheid. In 1992, the country was transitioning, and God saw fit to transition my heart and my mind. And one of the things I praised God for was that, while I was praying God for, is that I would see myself first and foremost as a Christian man. First and foremost, I am a Christian man. Before I'm black, before I am a Daba boy, before I am a husband, before I am a father, and all of the, I'm first and foremost a Christian man in that order. My manhood has to be informed by Christ. My fatherhood to Jesse has to be seen through the light of Christ. My husband, me being a husband to my wife, must be seen through Christ. I am first and foremost a Christian man on all of that. My culture is very important to me, but not so important that it must supersede Christ in my life. It cannot, and that applies to you on beautiful St. Joe's Island. That applies to all of us in beautiful Canada, to all of us who name the name of Jesus. For all of us who are in Christ. And I want us to be very cognizant of those words. You are in Christ in the New Testament. In all of the New Testament, 98 times are those that phrase is used. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. It's referring to people. It's referring to those who are redeemed, who are saved, born again. And more times than not, it's in Paul's writings. And we find it even here in this second chapter. This second chapter of Colossians. You and I are reckoned to be in Christ. Now, Paul is writing this letter to encourage these dear brothers and sisters. And he wants them to walk as those who are found in Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. One of the things I will be instructing Justin, watching me so wonderfully, and Mihaela and others this afternoon, this is a public declaration. Look, I'm a Christian. Look, I'm a Christian. Some of you who were baptized once upon a time said the same thing. Look, world, I'm a Christian. In this sacrament, this symbol, I am showing the world that I have died with Christ. When I dunk him, I'll trip him and dunk him and hold him down until bubbles come up. No. When I baptize him, it's symbolic of his death with Christ. A death that Christ died on our behalf. Because we were, a death sentence was upon us because of our sins. Just as you have received Jesus as Lord, continue then to live in him. When he comes up all drenched and all of that, he has no excuse but to continue to live in him. To walk in Christ, no longer in his own steam, no longer in my own steam, no longer in your own steam, but walking in Christ. And from here, Paul is going to be talking about us being in Christ always. Our true identity is not in religion. Our true identity is not in the Free Methodist Church. We love this church, denomination and all. But our true identity is not there. Our true identity is not how many rules you keep that religion throws at you. That's not our true identity. Look how pious he is. He even walks straight. Look how pious he is. He dresses neatly, not in shorts. Look how pious he is. No! Our identity is not in religion, not in rules, not in rituals. Our identity is in Christ. Therefore, verses 6 and 7, we are being rooted and built up in him. Again, there it goes. We are being rooted, not in religion, rituals, and rules. We are being rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith in him. It's all in Christ, never in us. Never in us. And it's easy for us to say those words, but live it differently. It's easy for us to say, I'm in Christ, but then we live life in our own steam, with our own strength, doing things all for ourselves, in ourselves, by ourselves. We are in Christ, and that means we are planted in him like a tree. I like that analogy that Paul uses. We are rooted in him. We have our roots in Christ Jesus. They're not in the air. I've been very embarrassed lately when people have come to our home and outside there are so many weeds. My goodness me. He came around the other day, yesterday, to check up our home, and I saw him walking past and I don't know who else came around. They came around and they, my weeds are that high and all of that. But if you know anything about weeds, they have what you call a tap root system, right? The roots go straight down and deep, and then you'll have these little things that spread out. So when you pull out a weed, it's hard because it goes all the way deep. But there, you can easily pull some of the weeds out. But a tree, that is a good tree, and it is an established tree. It's a mature tree, or a maturing tree. Its roots go down, and they spread and anchor. They spread out and go deeper and deeper, but also wider and wider. It's not just one-dimensional, like a weed that is just going straight down a little bit to the side, a little bit to that side. No, a good tree goes down and wide, deep and wide. And Paul says here, we must be rooted and built up a foundation strong in Christ. Some of us are more wide than we are deep. We are wide with all kinds of activities that we think, or rather, activities that we base all our faith in. Rules and rituals. We do, but we do not know Him. We are not rooted in Him. We are rooted in the opinions of others, in the culture. We are widespread, but not deep. The call is for us to go deep in Christ. And as we go deep in Him, He will spread us to reach many others. Baptized Christians must be deeply rooted, established, built up, strengthened in Christ Jesus. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow deceptions and philosophies. See to it that you are not deceived by every wind of teaching that goes on there that tugs your heart. Listen, when you and I are deeply rooted in Christ, firm foundations in Him, the wind and the storms of this world, the isms, the systems of this world will come calling on your ear, on your heart and mind. When you are deeply rooted in Christ, you shall not be moved. I've lived in a hurricane country before, and a hurricane is not a nice thing. Some of you have lived in tornado alleys. It's not nice to see a tree literally picked up from the roots and blown away, a house, a car. The call on you and I is to be steadfast even in the midst of the severest of storms. And this I'm calling on my buddies, my friends, the young people. You are coming into the world, my dear Doss, going to university soon. There are so many winds of teaching. Things that sound, but they are hollow. Things that sound all pious and good. The common language is virtue signaling. It's not virtuous, but it appears virtuous. Don't fall in it, but the only way you and I will not fall for the things of this world is if we are rooted and built up and founded in Christ Jesus. Deep roots survive storms. This is not just from the onslaught of Satan in the world, but it's things from within us as well that can shake us. Things from within. Storms, life's issues that come, whether it be illnesses, whether it be relationships. Remember whose you are. If you are in Christ, the storms will come and they will blow your leaves. The storms will come and maybe break some branches off you. The storms will come and shake you that you will sway a bit. But you, being rooted in Christ, you will stand firm. Be rooted in Christ, built up in Him. Do not be deceived by all the isms, systems of this world. Why? You are built up in Christ. But listen, why? Who is this Christ that you are built up in? Who is this Jesus? My friends, Paul's reason for writing this is to encourage these believers. And I'm doing this to encourage you. If you know it again. If I'm preaching to the choir, so be it. Hold fast. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Christ that you are in? He is fully God. The fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him bodily. He was Christ, God. He is God today. When he walked the earth, he was the only ever God-man. He is fully God. So then, if you are in Christ, you are complete, you are full in him. Inasmuch as he is fully God, you being fully in him, you are not God. Please don't ever listen to those folks that we are gods. No, you are not. But here's the thing. You are complete. You are positionally in Christ. Positionally complete, full. You are seated today. Your position is in him with the high angels. You are his child. The boys were right. I'm a child of God, positionally. Even though I am this side of the grave, I am in Christ fully. As he is fully God, I am fully not. I love the hymn. Not in part, but the whole. My sin is laid on him, not just part of it. My past, my present, my future is in Christ. I am fully in him. Even though with Paul, I struggle in this world. I fight. There's a warring going on in my heart. But it is a skirmish, not even a war. Because victory is won on the cross. And I am on the side of victors, not on the loser's side. That's who you are, Christian. That's who you are, a victor in Christ. You are not. I love how Paul puts it between verses 16 and 19. He says, don't allow anybody to disqualify you by, oh, look at them. Oh, my word. Look how are they dressed on Christmas Day. Look how are, they don't even have a tree in their house. Look at them. Don't let anybody disqualify you. Oh, you don't eat fish on a Friday. There's something wrong with you. Don't let anybody disqualify you by all of these man-made things. For the Jews, it was a circumcision done by the hand of man. He says, no, no, no. Forget that. Be circumcised in the heart, not by a hand. But by the Spirit, by Christ himself. Cling to Christ as you are rooted and built up in him. Not only are you rooted and built up and established, you are free. You are free. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me go back to my illustration as I close at the beginning. What is happening in South Africa, what is happening in our world with this identity nonsense, are people who in the United States heard, people who heard Martin Luther King saying he had a dream that people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but they will be judged by the character of their heart. That when you look at me, Martin Luther King envisioned, that when you look at me, you do not see a black man, that you will see a brother in Christ. That when you look at me, when I look at you, I will see a handsome young man, a lovely young lady. I will see scoundrel of a young man, a scoundrel of a young man, regardless of the color of your skin. These things are superficial. But the problem is, Christ has set us, the church of Jesus Christ, has set us free by his blood. Don't ever let identity creep in. It has crept in many so-called churches. It has crept in a vicious way, where people are made to feel guilty because of the color of their skin. Or people are made to feel victims because of the color of the skin. How do you get enslaved into this identity when Christ, by his blood, has set you free? If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Not only are you to be rooted and established and founded in Christ, not only are you victorious in Christ, live in the freedom that Christ has bought for you. Live in the freedom of Jesus Christ, not lording it over others. Live in the freedom that Christ has bought for you. You are a child of God. Walk tall, walk with humility. Walk proud, not in pride. Walk upright because you're a child of a king. My friends, I call on you in not so far a future, in just a matter of weeks, we will be talking about things regarding conflict and things like that, and how we manage our lives. We are called to live in Christ, not just when things are good and hunky-dory, not when we have mountaintop experiences, but we are called to live in Christ when we rub each other the wrong way, when the heart is not feeling well, not just physically, but emotionally. Bring Christ to the fore. Bring him to where he belongs, at the helm of your life. That's what it means to be rooted, to be built up and established in Christ. That's what it means to be in Christ every day, all day, every moment. When you seem to lapse and just forget, allow the Holy Spirit to jolt you back. When things don't go your way, cry out to him. Don't go scramble in your purse. What am I going to do now? What am I going to see? Go check your computer. What am I going to do? First port of call is Christ Jesus our Lord. That's my call to myself, first and foremost, brothers and sisters. That I want to be rooted in him because I have died with him. And then I have been risen with him again. Now the life I live in this body, I live in Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ in me. Christ in me is a hope, my only hope of glory. It is all for him. It is all for Christ. All of it. It must be. Otherwise, it is for naught. It is for nothing. It is all for Christ because it is all in Christ. Oh God, Almighty Lord, help us, I pray, to walk in Christ. to be rooted in His truth as You have revealed it in Your Word. Help us to be free, to realize our freedom from deceptions. We do not have to follow every wind of teaching, especially those that disguise as light, but they are darkness. Give us, Lord God, Your eyes. Help us to see truth and walk in it. Help us to grow in grace, I pray, O God. May we hold fast to You, O King of Kings, and live in the fullness You have given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And all the saints said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. The musicians, please, will come up.